Good evening, church. Good to see everybody back tonight. Those that are visiting, we welcome you. I've been going to talk about this subject for quite a while. I just hadn't figured out how to do it and where to go to get the backup to do it. But I want to talk about taking care of the babes. The babes being babes in Christ. It seems like we see three things happen to a newborn Christian, as I see it. One is they take hold and work forever the rest of their lives. That's a good scenario. Another scenario is they take hold and 6 months later walk out the back door. The other scenario, as I see it, they take hold, attend worship service, and that's it. And 50 years later, they're still babes in Christ. So what do we do about that? How do we go about switching around things that happen to these newborn Christians? I want to talk tonight a little bit about what our responsibility is and a little bit about what their responsibility is, because both sides have responsibilities. We're going to be in 1 Thessalonians tonight. That was the best text I could find for taking care of newborn Christians. Thessalonians was written by Paul. The church was established somewhere around 50 AD. The letter was written approximately 51 AD. So these people in Thessalonica, when this letter was written, were very young Christians. And Paul gives some good direction in this letter as to what needs to be done with new Christians, how he treated them. Paul was only there just a few days, and he was run out of town. And that left these young Christians to continue their lives only with a new faith. Very difficult situation. They faced opposition from fellow citizens. They faced ridicule. They faced persecution. And we know in that first century church, and even today, that we have opposition from outside. I was talking in class this morning with the ones who were in my class that just stop and think about the problems the Gentiles had coming into Christianity when the Jews didn't want them there. They didn't understand how the Gentiles could all of a sudden be a chosen people. They wanted to bring their habits and their philosophies and genealogies and all the stuff they had. They wanted to bring that in and do it so that the Gentiles had to do those things in order to be saved, which was against what God's word was saying. So that's the opposition. We think about today, someone coming in out of the world into Christianity. I was fortunate. I was born and raised in a Church of Christ Christian family. My dad was an elder for 40 years. I paid attention to what he had to say, and I've remained with the church. But there's people out there that have no clue what to do. There's people out there that don't know what the Church of Christ is all about. Moreover, they don't know what the Bible's all about. Most of them, I would think, believe in God. But they don't know how to believe him. They don't know how to do what he's asking them. And I think that all of us are concerned, or at least we should be, about new Christians. And on Sunday night services, I always like to think of Sunday night as the core of the congregation. The ones that get it. The ones that work. The ones that know what to do. That's the reason I wanted to put this lesson together. I wanted to talk to the few of us that are here all the time, are willing to do what we need to do, because those are the ones that are going to take care of new Christians. I would ask some questions. When we have a new Christian, do we get around and get to know them? Do we talk to them? Do we find out what they're doing? Do we find out where they work? What kind of family they come from? They have to feel welcome. Are we willing to sit down with them and study with them? I would hope that these questions are all yes. But I know I fall short at times. And you know me, I'm like the mouse under the building. If there's one, there's 100 more. And I always felt like if I had some kind of an issue or some kind of a problem, that there are others that have the same kind. So with that being said, the road ahead for that newborn Christian is not easy. Those of you that have come out of the world, not in Christian homes, know what I'm talking about. I can only imagine what it would be like to come out of a family or come out of a background that was not Christian. I don't know how you do that. But obviously it can be done. So the road ahead of them, it's not an easy one. They have a lot to learn. They have much to unlearn. And they also have got so far to grow. Problems along the way, we talked about them a little bit. Sometimes they just leave by the back door. Sometimes they ghost you, they won't even talk to you. We've reached out and tried with several. And they won't return calls, texts, anything. So that's on them. We have to do what we can and know to do in order to make things right. The other thing that happens, they just completely miss the mark. They're just not getting things. Don't get it right. For whatever reason. And we're going to talk about that towards the end of the sermon. Maybe some of the reasons why. So with all that being said, we're going to start in 1 Thessalonians 2, 13 and 14. It reads this way. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as a word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God, which are in Judea, in Christ Jesus. For you also suffered the same things from your own countrymen, just as they did from the Judeans. All right, so in this particular passage, when Paul's referring to us, that's him and Timothy and Silas, okay? That's who was there. Now, we know in this passage they received the word of God from those individuals. We know they welcomed it as God's word, not man's. We also know that they imitated the churches of God. So they followed what was right. They were learning what was right. They welcomed it. It was taught to them by Paul, Silas, and Timothy. They knew it was God's word. It wasn't man's word. And the imitation that followed. There was also faithful activity of work of the church described in this letter. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 3. Paul writes, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father. The work of faith. Also in this passage, the patience in the love and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father. So their work of love, and we look over in verse 8, and it says, for from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith towards God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. The Thessalonica church was spreading the word. The newborn Christians were spreading the word. Paul was spreading the word about how good the church in Thessalonica was doing. Paul was good at that. He praised churches for doing good. We also know in some of his letters, he'd hit them on the backside if they weren't doing good. They went both directions with him. But in these two verses, we see a work of faith, and we also see a spreading of the word. In chapter 3, verse 6, "But now that Timothy has come to us from you," back to Paul and Silas, "and brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always have good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us, as we also to see you." There was a lot of love between Paul, Timothy, and Silas with these people in Thessalonica. They had faith and they had love. Again, that's activity of work that needs to be in a church. Chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. "But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed, you do so toward all brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing." There's a whole lot of instruction in here and a whole lot of praise in here. When we look at this, Paul writes, they have brotherly love towards all. That's all inclusive. They lead a quiet life. They're not boisterous. They're not rambunctious. They lead a quiet life. They mind their own business. They tend to the Lord's work. And they work with their hands. So they're doing everything that they're supposed to be doing. And then in chapter 5, 12 through 14, Paul writes, "And we urge you, we're coming to you, we want you to do this, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and who are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you." That's a little stronger word than the word urge. "We exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly. Comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, and be patient with all." Paul wants these young Christians to know what they need to do. He wants them to continue what they're doing and work harder. And he's urging them and he's exhorting them. And he says here in 12, "Recognize those who labor among you." How do you recognize someone if you can't walk up to somebody and say, "Good job"? Or, "I see you're doing this," or, "You're doing this. Thank you." Recognize those who labor among you and are over you. That would be an eldership. Recognize those people. Work with them. And the Lord, over you in the Lord, and admonish you. That's encouraging you. "And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake." Doesn't mean put them on a pedestal. It just means to let them know you appreciate it. And then the last part of verse 13, it says, "Be at peace among yourselves." Don't squabble. Be at peace. Now again, you have to understand this is a real young church. So when you're getting instruction to be at peace among yourselves, that sometimes can be a difficult thing if you don't have everybody on the same page. All of us, or most of us, have been in congregations where people weren't all on the same page, where people were not at peace amongst themselves. And then in verse 14, he comes back, he says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, to do what?" warn those who are unruly. Warn them about what? Warn them about the fact they're going to lose their salvation. Comfort those that are faint-hearted. Tend to those that are weak. Pay attention to those that are weak. Uphold the weak. And then he ends this verse again with be patient with all. How do we work with new Christians if we don't have any patience? They're going to ask questions that we think are utterly stupid, but they don't know the answer. And those of you that have ever been in any of my classes, you'll know, first thing I'll tell everybody is there are no stupid questions. The only one that's stupid is the one we don't ask. So how do we work with these young Christians if we're not at peace amongst ourselves, first of all, or we can't be patient with them? It doesn't work. Good work ethic is important, especially for a Christian's influence and their example. 1 Thessalonians 2, 9 through 12. Paul says to them, for you remember, brethren, you remember this, our labor and toil for laboring night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you, we preach to you the gospel of God. That's a good work ethic. You are witness and God also how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. He's charging them to walk worthy. Walk the way you've been taught. Don't get away from that. 4 verses 11 and 12. It said that you also aspire, you aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. Comfort, edify one another. The word effectively worked in those that believed. They did their job. They were working. First Thessalonians 6, 2, 6 through 12. I'm going to back this up a little bit. We just looked at 9 through 11. I want to go back to verse 6 and bring it all together. Chapter 2, starting with verse 6. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and toil, for laboring night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you, but we preached to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses in God also how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Okay, so backing up and taking this whole passage into context, we see Paul cared for them like a mother for her children. Those of you that have children understand that. That's how newborn Christians need to be cared for. Preston and Shannon have a brand new baby. That baby is well cared for, tended to, nourished, hugged, coddled, made to feel welcome. That's the way newborn Christians are to be. We can't just assume because they were baptized, that it's over, that they know everything. We can't do that. Paul cared for them like a mother for her children. We also see in this passage that he worked hard not to burden anyone. He didn't put it on them so hard that it was a burden to them. He fed them a little bit at a time. And then he also let them witness his life. What you see in me, you do, because what I do is in Christ. Christ walked this earth to give us an example. Paul walked this earth to give these churches an example. And he let them look at him and look at his life. And he didn't care if they put him under a microscope. It didn't matter. He had a past that followed him places. Because as we know, he persecuted Christians. But once that turned, he went the other direction and preached the gospel of Christ. And he set a life on earth that was exemplary. And he says here, we let them witness his life. And then lastly, it says he dealt with them as a father. Somebody got to set some rules down. Be stern, yet gentle. That again needs to be done with new Christians because they don't know the way. They don't know how to do things. They don't understand God's word. So he set down rules for them. He was gentle with them, and yet he was firm. He dealt with them as a father. So we look at this, the care of new Christians, according to what Paul said. First thing out, we have to teach the gospel and only the gospel. No opinions. No, I think it says this or I think it says that. If you don't have the answer, they ask a question, you don't have the answer. There's an answer to every question. And that answer is, I don't know. And then go to Scripture and figure it out. Or go get someone to help you. There's nothing wrong asking for help. But first thing out is teaching the gospel. Then the action. That's right living according to what the gospel has to say. That's our responsibilities towards new Christians. We have to teach them. We have to nourish them. We have to mother them. We have to be a father to them. That's our responsibility. Now, very simply put, there's new Christian responsibilities also. And we're going to end with this. First thing they have to do is be willing and able to listen to God's word. And not only listen to it, but they have to hear. Pay attention. Next thing new Christians need to do, they need to pick a role model of some kind, someone they know is walking the right life, watch them and imitate them. As a congregation, we do things right here. God's word is preached, and only God's word. There's nothing false in here. Gives a new Christian a good example of to watch and imitate what's going on. And then lastly, you have to become what you hear and what you see. So if you've got a good position that they're watching, you've got good position that they're imitating, then it only follows suit that they would become what they're hearing and what they're seeing. But there's a lot of responsibility that's on our shoulders. Not just the responsibility to teach them to the point they're baptized. It's ongoing after that. And I think we need to look at ourselves. We need to take that seriously. That's what God's word says. That's the lesson tonight. We always issue an invitation in case there is someone here that wants to become that new Christian. Salvation is, baptistry is ready. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're willing to make that confession and lead a righteous life afterwards, we'll take care of those needs. If there are those that need prayers of this congregation for whatever reason, If you'll let that be known, we will also take care of those needs. So whatever it might be, let it be made known as we stand and sing the invitation song.